Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Program, everyone, earful and the mother effing city.
Hey, watch that language.
Hey, I said effing.
Yeah, all right.
I said effing.
All right.
Today, we're going to talk about how amazing my Thanksgiving was and how shitty Slim's was and how Miss Universe dumped Tim Tebow because he wouldn't let her score. I swear to God, Tim Tebow has the number one defense, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man.
A defense that is tougher than the Legion of Boom. I don't know what his secret is, but damn, that's
number one pussy defense.
That's
like
one
a force field.
That's one hell of a defense, everyone. Man, how do you? We're gonna wait and talk about that. We're gonna get on to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's over. The leftovers are they're almost gone for me at least.
Yours were gone days ago. Get out.
No,
of here.
I actually have a little bit left. So, we're going to start with Slim here because I know that he didn't have any set plans. I know. Bust out the violin, everyone. He didn't have any set plans, and I suggested that he would go to Denny's and try out their holiday menu without the omelet skillet.
Motherfuckers. Non-denominational holiday menu.
Yeah, you love it.
On the real, Slim, how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, you know, this has got to be one of, if not the most underrated holidays that there is. And that's what kind of made mine a little disappointing this year. Didn't have much going on. Ended up just hanging out with my mom. Not too bad, but you can only put up with so much of that, you know, head-to-head action. So that was a little much, but really, really great holiday, though, when you think about it. It just comes down to eating a lot of food, drinking a lot of booze, and just hanging out with people. And that's all you got to do. You don't have to go to the mall. You don't have to buy a bunch of gifts. If you can make anything, you can make anything, any kind of contribution, you're good to go. You could bring a couple bottles of wine if you want. Just make sure the fucking party's going and everybody's having a good time. That's all you got to do. That's the beauty of this holiday, and it's nice too because it's on a Thursday always, so you always get that 4-day week. I mean, who gets a break that long normally? Not many people have that luxury. Any once, maybe twice a year, maybe. But
people that fucking work don't get that break.
No, I'm not 4 days is a long.
I'm not in college or high school anymore. I haven't got that break in years.
Yeah, 4 days is a long time off. So it's like you got Thanksgiving. That's on Thursday. And Friday rolls around. It's like, fuck, you already got a hangover. And it's just turned to Friday. You're like, holy shit, am I going to make it through the weekend at this pace? God. Yeah. And you know me, man. I've been trying to cut back on the drinking a little bit. But the wheels came off for me this weekend, dude.
Oh, I bet.
My resistance was strong, but the force of alcohol was even stronger. I went to the comedy club, and I went to Thrasher's Corner Pub, the shittiest of the shit when it comes to Bothell. The shittiest place you can get a $7.50 beer at anywhere around town. I mean, it's
$7.50?
Well, that's if it's on special.
Jeez.
Yeah, no, this place sucks. It sucks, but it's a tradition. All of the old Bothell booze hounds. I went to high school at Bothell High. All the old Bothell booze hounds, the 03, 04, 05s, they show up there every year. And it's the best night because everybody's back in town, and you know none of these motherfuckers got to work tomorrow.
Oh,
all right?
My God.
So they're willing to throw it back.
I got a question. Where the fuck was my phone call?
Oh, I should have, man. I was out and about. I was driving. I hit up a few people, but the numbers have been dwindling. We used to have this place packed to the fucking gills, man. So bad where it would take you 20 minutes just to get to the bar and purchase an overpriced cocktail. It was retarded. This last couple of years, it's been a little thinner. I didn't get out last year, but this year, numbers were a little lower, but oh, man, those same old guys, probably the same amount of booze consumed almost, even with fewer people per capita. It was a good time, though. That got through that day, had one drink at each spot. A guy handed me a shot. I didn't even ask for anything. He just orders a round of like six shots because he's that guy. And he just puts one in my hand. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm taking this. So take that. Got through that day. But still, man, by the time Thanksgiving rolled around, it was fucking, my fate was sealed. All right. It was going to be a heavy boozing weekend.
Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
No, I did not do any Black Friday shopping. I did some Black Friday video watching and
Black Friday video shopping.
Yeah. I was watching the videos on YouTube, you know, trying to get some stuff. Maybe somebody trampled, angry mob, you know, a couple of girls pulling hair, something of that nature. But to my unfortunate surprise, it was pretty mellow this year, actually. It's pretty mellow.
I heard Black Friday sales were about 10% down than usual. Did you hear about that? I think people are finally coming to their senses that it's just not worth it.
Maybe we're actually coming to some kind of sanity on this issue. Another thing I think it is, though, is some of these places, you got them opening at 3 o'clock on fucking Thanksgiving now. They're open at like 3 o'clock. That's not even Black Friday. Black Friday is 8 hours away from here, you motherfuckers. You guys are already getting this shit going, so that's why there's no line. It's just the people who worked in some of those retail spots are just getting fucked now, and they got to come in when most people don't even eat dinner. I mean, they eat it early, but even on Thanksgiving, that's early on Thanksgiving's like 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock, and some of these motherfuckers got to go to work at 5. Jesus Christ, guys. But then again, 42-inch for 150. I mean, come on. All right. Sign me up. I could use one for the bathroom, actually. I don't have a TV in the bathroom right now, so.
I mean, I'll knock a motherfucker out for that.
That is an insane $150 TV. That is fucking.
Where was that at?
That was at Fred Meyer. Fred Meyer no was shit. Doing 40.
Fred Meyer did a Black Friday?
I think they did 42 inches for 150.
Wait, time out. What brand? I know it wasn't Sony.
I want to say Toshiba, maybe.
Wow!
But don't quote me on that. But they did that, and they had the 50-inch for $250.
No shit! Fred Meyer did a Black... I'm new here to Washington, and in Texas, they didn't have Fred Meyer, so... You know, I'm not used to a grocery store being, you know, when I think of Fred Meyer, I think of the grocery store, but I don't think of the other department. So that really blows my mind.
Clearly, you have not been watching enough television, okay? Fred Meyer is your one-stop shop for bigger savings, all right? You should have known this, Shoddy. You stop there for everything. They got gas now. They got gas. They got plants. They got fucking diapers. They got broccoli. They got everything there, man. I love that store.
I'm a Target.
Save gas.
Shopper.
Shop it all at one spot.
I'm a Target.
Oh, yeah?
Target.
Go for that bullseye?
Yes. I'm a Target shopper.
They're not bad, but I don't know. I just, Freddy's, it used to be that local company, so it still kind of has a little bit of that local feel to it, but they got some good deals, man. And honestly, I saw those prices on the TV, and I was like, man, Fred Meyer's is just right down the road.
I'm looking at your television right now, and it's pretty fucking big already.
Yeah, but, you know, it could get bigger. It could get bigger.
You are a greedy SOB.
$250. This is a 50-inch, and I paid almost $2. I paid used. I bought this for fucking $250. So, I mean, I got it. These guys are, they're trying to make it happen, but luckily people are just, they're not susceptible to that shit anymore. You know, it's a little different. And a lot of the people that I saw who were shopping were buying that shit for themselves. It wasn't going to be a gift. There were these 20-year-old boys, they're not buying that to give to their fucking dad for Christmas. No, they're buying that shit for themselves to play video games on.
Exactly. Why do you
think they can actually afford it?
Why do you think people are so fucking crazy on Black Friday? Because they're not going crazy to get shit for their grandma, their girlfriend. They're getting it for themselves. Yeah, their auntie, their baby mama. They're getting it for themselves. That's why they're so fucking greedy. Get the fuck out of my way. I'm throwing bowls on you motherfuckers.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to burn that kind of time just to get somebody else a fucking... What's the new doll that they do? Oh, my niece has one of them. I forgot, but whatever white bitch dolls that they're doing now that are expensive as shit. But no one's gonna do that for anybody else. You're gonna do that shit for yourself. That's it. So it's the whole operation is just fucking incredibly selfish and somewhat narcissistic. But no, they're like you said, it's a trend, man. And it's just too easy to get stuff online. It's just too easy. You go to Amazon and they got fucking everything, and they'll drop that shit off with a drone in 30 minutes flat. All right, I mean. It's just incredible. They just make it so goddamn easy. Companies making like 20 cents a thing they sell people. Their margins are so thin, but they sell about 8 billion things a day. So, but that was what. So what else did you do this weekend, man? What else
was
going on?
Well, like I mentioned last week, this Thanksgiving was the first Thanksgiving that I went over someone's house of the person that I'm dating. So we went down to Federal Way to my girlfriend's parents' house, and it was her mom, her dad, her cousin's husband, and her cousin's daughter. And like I mentioned last week, my favorite college football team, Texas Tech, were playing their arch nemesis, the Texas Longhorns, that night. And it's been since 2008 since Texas Tech beat UT, and it's been since 1997 since Texas Tech beat UT in Austin, where UT's is at, and we ended up beating them. We wrecked them. We kicked their ass. And what's funny is this was the first game between Texas Tech and UT that I saw from the first quarter to the end since 2010, because between 2011 and 2014, I just had to turn it off early because it just got out of hand and UT would just pull away with that shit. But we ended up beating them, and I mentioned this to you before, college football up here is not as big as it is in Texas. And that's one thing that I will always keep with me. Like, college football is just as big as professional football. Like, Texas Tech football is just as important to me as the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, it was special. And it was me, my girlfriend's brother-in-law, my girlfriend's dad, and my girlfriend's cousin's husband, sorry. And, you know, none of them are really big into college football as I am. And I asked my girlfriend's dad, hey, Texas Tech is playing. He knew that was my favorite team. And I asked him, hey, can we watch him in? And he said yes. And they really got into the game because it was a really good game up until the end. And I'm a very animated person, and you know, every time Texas Tech scored, I would run around the house saying, "Wreck 'em Tech, guns up!"
Jeez, yeah. That's how you're liable to incite a riot.
My girlfriend's dad enjoyed it, and he said my second favorite team behind the University of Washington is Texas Tech, because any team that beats the Texas Longhorn, it's good in my book.
Dude, yeah, it was a big weekend for college football. Dude, the reason that it's not as big around here is because you guys have those fucking schools down there, like 20,000 people attending. I mean, it's crazy how big some of the schools are down there. But
20,000? I think Texas A&M and UT, almost 50,000 students.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But doesn't University of Washington have that much?
They probably have quite a bit, but I don't know, man. It's just crazy. Even the high schools down there, even the high schools put up big numbers. I mean, my high school graduating class up here, I think it was like 540 people. Like they
that's mine was 555, and that's considered like the small of the big schools.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, because I've like I grew up south of Austin. I've met some people who've gone to school in like inner city Dallas, inner city San Antonio, and their graduating classes are in the thousands.
Yeah. Just some, they put up some crazy numbers, that's for sure.
Yes. It's pretty insane. And the high school football stadiums down there in Texas are like they're the size of the University of Washington's football stadium. They're the size of Husky Stadium.
Probably way bigger than that. It's not as big up here. I don't know why, but it was definitely a big weekend though. They had the Apple Cup going on up in here, actually in town this year, and it was kind of surprising actually the way that turned out. It was I was hoping, to be honest, I was hoping that the Cougars would put up a good fight. I mean, they actually they're working on a pretty good season, but it turned out their quarterback, he was out this game, and they didn't even stand a chance.
And I was rooting for Wazoo because their coach, Mike Leach.
Yeah.
Mike Leach was at Texas Tech before he came up here to Washington.
Oh, was he? I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Mm. Yeah, that's why I root for Wazoo because of Mike Leach. Mike Leach is the man. He's a crazy son of a bitch.
He seems like he's a good coach, though. He seems like he knows how to run a good program. But they were having a pretty good year, and it's like that's what I don't understand about the Apple Cup sometimes. Like people just have this visceral like hate. It's like, oh, no, I'm a Husky. No, I'm a like, why can't it just be whatever team is working on a pretty good season that team can win? I mean, the Huskies, yeah, they won this game. They're basically at a 500 year. I mean, that's okay, but you guys have been fucking wildly mediocre like that for the past 6 or 7 years. The Cougars win this game, I think they would have been 8-3. I mean, that's a pretty good season, and one of their losses was to I can't remember what team, but it was a ranked team, and they almost beat them, and they ended up fucking it up at the end. But that's a pretty, I mean, that's a solid season. Like, I didn't go to either of the schools. I mean, technically, I live close to Seattle. I have friends that have gone to UW, but it's like, I don't give a shit, okay? Just whatever team that has Washington in their fucking name can get onto a bowl that actually ends up on ESPN or on CBS or some fucking station that actually matters, that's all I care about, you know? Just get one of the fucking teams. Who cares? The Huskies, these guys have sucked forever. I mean, not forever, but the last 10 years have just been, we had a couple decent seasons with Locker, but not even that great. And
Jake Locker, wow.
Hey, his career's over now. My unfortunately, gosh. I was watching actually the new guy for the Titans, and that motherfucker, he's actually pretty
Marcus
good.
Marcus Mariota?
Yeah.
He's gonna be good. You know, he's a rookie, so I'll give him this season, but I think next season he's gonna be, I don't know if I would put him like top 10. Maybe top 10, but I think he's going to be good. You know, he's working out his kinks. He's getting the feel of the NFL, and I think next season he's going to be really good.
Yeah, for a rookie, he's not looking bad. The Vikings, too, I was watching them play. Man, they've had a surprising year this year.
No shit.
They're actually up top of their division above Green Bay.
Yes.
Green Bay is fucking falling apart quicker than Bill Cosby's career.
Shit.
God damn, 4 games in a row those motherfuckers have lost.
Yeah.
And people thought they were unstoppable before that. Just shows you how the season just progresses. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I remember you were just talking about how you don't care if it's Washington State or UW that does good, as long as Washington, you know, gets that recognition. Down there in Texas, it ain't like that. For instance, when the Texas Longhorns went to the national championship in 2010 to play Alabama, everyone that was an A&M fan and a Tech fan was an Alabama fan that night.
Oh,
they did not they did not want the Longhorns to win the national championship. And I was the same way. I was an Alabama fan that night. I did not want the Longhorns to win. Back in 2006, like, I almost jumped off a fucking cliff. That was the year that two biggest football programs that I can't stand the most, the Texas Longhorns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, won their championships. I almost jumped off a fucking cliff. I'm like, is the world ending? Holy shit. Vince Young almost ruined my fucking life.
Oh my gosh, that was a crazy year.
You remember that?
That was the year. Yeah, because that was the year they beat the Hawks. They beat the Hawks in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, when the Steelers beat the Hawks, and then Texas Longhorns beat USC. That was ran by Pete Carroll at the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Pete Carroll ran it. He ran it on fourth and something. Damn. He ran it on fourth and one. That's why he didn't run it last year in the Super Bowl, because he learned his fucking lesson. Reggie Bush did not convert on fourth and one. That's the way he decided to pass.
Wow, maybe you're right. Maybe he's come full circle at this
point. Yeah, that's why he's like, you know what? I'm not going to take this risk and run it, because when I ran it in the Rose Bowl, I didn't convert. So I'm going to try to I'm gonna rely on Russell Wilson on a pass and get in the fucking end zone. So that's why I don't blame Pete Carroll for not running it in the Super Bowl. Because he didn't want to have another deja vu. Because when he ran it in the Rose Bowl with Reggie Bush, they didn't fucking convert. And that's when Vince Young marched down the fucking end zone. I mean, marched down the fucking field for a touchdown. And USC couldn't come back. And then a few weeks later, fucking Pittsburgh beats the Seattle Seahawks. Then that's when fucking Jeremy Stephens running his fucking mouth talking shit to Joey Porter. That was a dumb motherfucking move. Remember Jeremy Stephens?
Oh, yeah.
He was a big son of a bitch. God.
Yeah.
He's still around dating fucking Hope.
Solo?
Yeah, Hope Solo.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they're still dating. You didn't know that?
Jesus Christ. That's got to be one of the craziest fucking couples around.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah. You talk about Pete, though, rushing the ball at USC, and that's pretty funny, actually. That's a... pretty crazy how that situation comes around more than once. But come on, man. You got fucking Marshawn Lynch and Reggie Bush.
He had Reggie Bush, the Heisman winner of that year.
Yeah, so what? And he's also one of the fucking softest running backs around. I mean, that guy, you know, he's dancing around trying to avoid getting hit at all costs. And then you got Marshawn Lynch, who's doing commercials where he's fucking hauling a toilet out of some bitch's bathroom, all right?
I've seen those.
I mean, come on. He's a fucking badass motherfucker, dude. You got to give him that ball there, especially after the year he had last year. I mean, he killed it last year. This year, he's been out and whatnot. But, I mean, you can only take so many of those fucking major hits that he takes all the time, all game long.
I got a question for you. After this season, is he done with his career, or will he go somewhere else?
I don't think he cares enough. I think he's made enough money that he needs to, and I think he's done it. He fucking gave it his all. He was killing it. Like I said, last year had a good year. Year before that, he had a good year. Year before that, pretty solid year. I mean, he's been getting it done. I think he's going to call it quits, man. That guy just takes so a fucking beating sometimes out there, especially when we don't want to throw the ball. Because the offense isn't working very well, they just hand it off to Lynch. And now he's got Rawls, he's got some other people helping him out now, and he's been out the last couple of games. Why would you put up with that anymore, man? I mean, he's got nothing to prove at this point. He got a Super Bowl ring. You know, he almost got another one last year, and who knows how this year is going to end. We might have a shot at it if we get into the playoffs. I think if we sneak into the playoffs, we're definitely going to be a threat that everybody has to look out for at least. But he probably will hang him up, man. He's had a good career, you know. Guy needs to try to save his knees for at least a few more years.
I hope so. I remember when he was with Buffalo before he came here to Seattle. He wasn't – it seems like he didn't really fit in up there in Buffalo. And then when he comes across the country here in Seattle, it just seems like the Seattle Seahawks really took him in as he was one of their own. And I will never forget, I wasn't living here then, but I will never forget the 2010 wild card game against the Saints, where that's when he earned the name Beast Mode with that run. And the people in that stadium pretty much caused a fucking earthquake.
Beastquake.
The Beastquake. And then he did the whole my dick.
Oh, my God. Dude, it has to be one of the most fucking G moments of sporting history. Yes. Just fucking takes it 60 yards to the house and then says to the entire defense, oh, suck my dick.
Oh, my dick.
Oh, God. That was insane. That was the year, too. No one was giving us any fucking credit because we were 7-9 and everybody's talking, oh, we need to change the rules. It shouldn't be division winners. It should just be this and that. And the defending Super Bowl champion Saints probably were thinking they were going to fucking come in here and just run over us. And sure enough, we showed them. But that was a crazy year. That was one of the craziest sporting moments and definitely in Seattle history.
I bet everyone in Seattle got fucking wasted and partied their ass off. I guarantee you, it probably didn't matter what y'all did. Y'all probably weren't even thinking, okay, we don't care if we win the divisionals, the conference championship or the Super Bowl. We just knocked off the defending Super Bowl champions and Marshawn Lynch just gave the Saints defense the biggest FU on that run.
Yeah, that was magical, man. My buddy, who's a big Hawks fan, he was at that game, and the fucking stars that he gets in his eyes when he starts talking about it. It's just,
oh, I bet.
And me and him, actually, we went last year to the conference championship, the last home
no
game
shit.
Here. Yeah, and let me tell you, for a guy who tries not to get too into this stuff. I mean, I like the Hawks. They're fun to watch, but these people who spend the entire fucking day just watching sports and doing nothing else productive, like, I can't do that, especially just to keep track of your fucking fantasy team and see if Antonio Brown is going to score.
Don't judge me. Don't judge me.
Yeah.
Hey, I picked up Thomas Rawls in one of my leagues, and he got me about six.
Love.
He got me 16 points this past weekend.
He's going to have a couple more good games, I bet, before the season's done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to be the starter for the Seahawks next season.
Yeah, what the fuck? What game were we talking about? God, I just lost my whole train of thought. But, oh, no, yeah, we went to the conference championship. And, you know, for a guy who doesn't get too into it, I ended up just splurging at the moment. Ended up buying tickets for us. They ended up being like $350 a piece for what this guy from Jersey bought him at the casino. So this was kind of a sketchy deal. I hear probably a few red flags went up that I chose to miss and oversee, but bought them from him. He's like, oh yeah, no, these tickets are real good, man. They're real good. They're 300 level, but you know, they're right up there, right, just off the top. Yeah, well,
wait, who did you buy him from?
This guy at the casino. He's from New Jersey.
Oh my God.
He's at the casino, yeah. I was playing poker, won this huge fucking pot, caught the guy on his way out, and bought the last two tickets that he had that he was getting rid of. And bought it from him. He's like, oh yeah, no, it's just a couple rows up, you know, the 300 level, but just a couple rows up. Like, all right, cool, whatever, you know. That's how much tickets we're going for. I mean, it's a conference championship. Pretty much every ticket in the house is worth at least $300, at least. So paid him for him. Ended up getting to the game. We were like fucking two rows from having our back to the top of the fucking place. But it was still awesome though, man. I mean, the whole game seemed like it was going against us. There was we couldn't get anything going. Russ just threw fucking pick after pick after pick anytime we got any momentum. And then finally, in the last 5 minutes, we just completely put it together and fucking luckily got into overtime and then ended up pulling it off. And it was incredible. Like the it was so amazing. I mean, it sucked because as somebody who's liked the Hawks for a long time, my aunt, she's now deceased, but she used to take me to games all the time in the kingdom and she was super into it. Before the game was done, you know, we were down by 14 or something with 4 minutes to go or something like that.
Yeah.
And there was 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, so not a lot of time, but still a decent amount on the clock. People were fucking filing out of the stadium like mad, dude. I mean, it was disgusting. As somebody who actually gives a shit about the Seahawks, not a lot of whole other sports teams, it was fucking atrocious, man. And we have kind of the stigma with our fans. Like I think a lot of the rest of the league thinks that we're kind of douchey fans because of that. And you know, shit, something like that, just completely reinforced that, which kind of was sad. But the game, though, the fact that we was at that game is probably one of the craziest sporting events that I'll remember, and at least I'll be able to say that for the rest of my life.
All right. I want to bring up a little trick I used to do at Texas Tech football games. Because you mentioned that you got your NFC conference championships tickets from a guy at a casino from Jersey
with a thick accent, and he told me he was staying at a hotel that was in Bot Hell. That's how he pronounced it. Yeah, somewhere over like Bot Hell. I'm probably saying it wrong. I was like, yeah, you're saying it wrong, motherfucker. That's my hometown.
Anyway, so there used to be scalpers outside of Jones AT&T Stadium where the Texas Tech Red Raiders play. And I didn't go to school there. I went to Angelo State University, which is the sister school of Texas Tech. That's why I'm a fan of Texas Tech. I graduated from Angelo State. So what we used to do is between my freshman year and my fourth year of college, when I used to go to up to Lubbock, Texas for Texas Tech games, the friend I used to stay with from high school, he had a friend who was black, and let's listen. He had a friend who went to Tech with him who was black, and he had a student ID, obviously. However, his friend worked for the school newspaper, so he didn't need his student ID to get in the game. Mm. So what he would just do is his friend would just give me his student ID, and I would wait in the student line like 2,000 other students, and when they would open the gate, like, so the people that are controlling the gate, they don't have time to really look and see if that's you. I mean, because they got so I would get in Tech games for free between my freshman year and my fourth year of college, but my fifth year, he didn't work for the newspaper anymore, so I couldn't use his ID, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find a ticket. The first game I went to my last year of college was the Tech UT game in 2010, and I was thinking, man, I really don't want to spend like $100-$120 on tickets, and I knew there were going to be scalpers in the front outside of the stadium, and I'm thinking, man, they're gonna try to fucking rip me off. So what should I do? So me and my buddy, we come up with a plan. I tell him, hey, act out and pretend like you're a scalper, and then come up to me and challenge this guy.
Oh yeah.
So what I did was I went up to a scalper. I said, hey, how much? He's like, 120. My friend comes up with tickets that he's already bought. He's like, hey, I'll give them to you for 90. The scalper goes down. No, 80. I got a ticket for $70.
Oh, wow. Nice.
For anyone who has to rely to get tickets from a scalper, try that shit. It is because scalpers, they're just trying to make money.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. They're fishing for that little girl who's actually willing to pay $200 for a ticket that might not even have been that much at fucking face value. I mean, you know, they're pulling a couple of those a game. And I've seen that. Actually, me and my buddy have talked about that. That's a smart technique. You get your buddy to come in like he's a scalper too, and then you get into a fucking bidding war. And then once you've got to a price that you actually like, then your buddy backs out, and you just fucking go for it. So yeah, that's a good. It's like a two against one. You know, you have the numbers advantage against the scalper, and luckily you're able to beat him up because of it. just on price, not physically, but still. Still hurts him just as much, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Hurts his ego a little bit worse, even.
I went to about two or three Texas Tech games my last year of college, and we pulled it off all three times. I guess it's because one, I didn't go to every Tech home game that year, so they probably forgot what I looked like. And two, they probably run into a lot of people who want to buy tickets outside of the stadium. But it was a pretty good idea because I was still a cheap college student at the time. That was my last year as a cheap college student, and I'm just a cheap guy now. But
I'm a cheap grown man.
Cheap grown ass man.
Oh no, you're buying the expensive booze tonight, actually.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That shit is not cheap at all.
It's not, but it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's
I'm not going to say what it is because I'm not going to give them a free advertisement.
No way. No way. The only people that get free advertisement around here is DraftKings.
Oh,
DraftKings.com. Pick your players every week, a different season. All right? Pick your players, 16 different seasons.
That was a nice drop-in, by the way.
Win tons of cash. Millions of dollars made every week. It's skill based, all right? It's not gambling. It's skill based, people. No, those motherfuckers though, they're beginning in some hot water actually. Did you hear about this class action lawsuit they got going against them right now?
No.
A couple of guys in New York or somewhere over there, they're filing a class action lawsuit against them. I guess they're pretty big over there. We can't even do DraftKings around here, even if you want to, which I don't get why the fuck they're throwing 18,000 ads at us a day if we can't even do it here. Like, what do you, that just shows how frivolous they're being with their fucking advertising dollars point. It's insane. But a couple guys from New York are filing a class action lawsuit. I don't know exactly what their terms are. I guess they're saying that they're basically saying this is just shows the crazy, stupid, litigious world that we live in right now. But they're basically saying that the way that DraftKings set up their gaming and the way their organization does things is not up to code with New York gaming law and all this shit. But it's like a private citizen though. It's a guy that was using it. It's not even like the attorney general's office that's coming up with this claim. So I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous. The thing with DraftKings and FanDuel for me is it's like this. I basically equate them to the same way that I equate ISIS. And that's basically that these guys came up so fucking quick, got so much goddamn money and resources, and are just fucking killing it right now that they've come up too fast for their own good. And now people are springing back and saying, hey, what? Come on, hey, slow it down there. You know, take it easy, guys. But these companies, they weren't even around 3 or 4 years ago. And I was looking into the stat. I did a little research. And this year, DraftKings and FanDuel combined on advertising, guess how much they spent?
What?
Over $200 million.
On advertising.
On advertising alone, okay?
That's retarded.
That's not for your office building. That's not for payrolls, okay? That's not for high-end call girls or dinners or golf trips. That's for fucking advertising. $200 million. These guys must be just making money hand over fist. I mean, and how can you do that, really, unless you're robbing people? I mean, how... You know, no one, Chipotle came up quick, but they still had a 10-year business model. You know, these guys are fucking, and look where they're at right now. They're running into some trouble too, but you can't come up that quick. You know, and the same thing with ISIS. These guys are just too brutal. They're too intense. They came way, they went, like my boy Drake will say, they went from fucking 0 to 100 real quick.
No, time out. Speaking of
to come up there,
Drake does not know what it's like to go from 0 to 100. He never started from the fucking bottom. He was fucking Jimmy in a wheelchair on fucking Degrassi. That's why I just shake my motherfucking head every time when I hear him say, started from the bottom, now we're here. Got it from the bottom, now my whole team's fucking... I'm like, dude, you were on a fucking TV show when you were a teenager. You didn't start from the fucking bottom. But I'm sorry, Slim. I didn't mean to interrupt your fucking story. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm sure he didn't get a new bike every year, you know? The guy, it's not like he had the silver spoon in his mouth all the time. No, but they came up too quick, man, and this is what happens. You know, you can't just come out of nowhere and just be killing it after 2 or 3 years without some people coming at you, trying to get a fucking piece of the action. And, you know, I did research on this lawsuit and just couldn't really get to anything concrete from it. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's complete bullshit and maybe what they're doing is perfectly legit and legal and everything. We'll have to see. It's going to take a while to find this out, but sometimes you can be a victim of your own success. You come up too quick and you ruffle too many feathers and people just start coming at you. You know, they'll come at you and they're vicious and they want to get a piece of you any way they can. And this is why a lot of times it's better, you know, people, I've been somebody who's impatient most of my life. You know, I've wanted things fucking 10 years ago I wanted these things, you know, and it's like there was no chance I was going to get these things when I was 10 years ago. I was a fucking idiot. And, you know, you got to have some patience. You got to take little nibbles a lot of times. You can't go for all the power in one big bite because that's how people fucking start suing you for some bullshit and get a class action suit going. But then again, they do have the Millionaire Maker, you know, so
they do.
Lucky fan.
One lucky fan. I mean, and
how big is that guy's ego now? I saw there was this guy who was, he was working on Wall Street and decided to quit that, started playing DraftKings and made a ton of money doing that, which probably had some insider information or something, probably fucking paid somebody.
Of course,
off.
He's on Wall Street. He's from
exactly. He's probably
inside trading. Insider trading.
He's getting that phone call from the guy who doesn't say hello. All he says is, Adrian Peterson's on sale this week, and he's playing against the Jaguars, and then hangs up. All right, Adrian, you know, those fucking, just those calls from people you don't even know who they are, and just like that, you're making 200-300K. Oh, the life. Fucking A, man. Well, yeah, that was Thanksgiving. What else you were telling me about?
No. I remember you just mentioned Chipotle just a minute ago.
I did. That was the day after Thanksgiving for me.
But... Well, yesterday, I have to admit, it was a big risk. It's a big risk, and it was basically a life or death situation because I haven't been there in a while, but maybe more of a death situation. Well, nothing's happened to me yet, but for the first time since their E. coli breakout, I ate at Chipotle. And I'm still alive, breathing. I had a bad dream last night. I don't know if that had to do with it, but...
Oh, my gosh.
I ate at Chipotle for lunch yesterday, and I had a flour tortilla with steak, black beans, mild salsa, guacamole, lettuce, tomatoes. It was damn good. I'm like, oh, that's why I love this place. But and I remember telling someone that, and they're like, just because it's open doesn't mean you have to eat there. And I said, well, I live life on the motherfucking edge.
Yeah, no shit. I went the first time this week too.
Really?
That first meal back, you know, there's something, it's like taboo about it. It's like there's a chance. I mean, there's really not a chance, but in the back of your mind, there's that chance that something happens to you. But I almost think that makes you enjoy it more. I almost think the rush you're getting from knowing that this thing could literally kill me within days. And I think it almost makes it more exciting. You know, it's like,
man,
it's like that getting nasty in a public place or doing something like that. It's that you might get caught. This one might come back to haunt you, but that makes it all that much more enjoyable.
I agree.
God, I almost wish they'd have more E. coli outbreaks so I could, because that fucking burrito was delicious. And the guy, he was a newbie. He packed so much shit in there, he couldn't even get it wrapped.
Really?
Oh, man.
Which one did you go to?
I was kissing some serious ass, though. I was down in U Village. I was working during the weekend. And
no shit. The one in the shopping mall?
Yeah.
That's what I went to yesterday.
U Village, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was in there. I didn't even know that place existed, actually.
Well,
there's a lot of like hidden stores down there.
Yeah. I think that's so dope. That's one thing I like about the University of Washington's campus. There's a fucking shopping center right in the middle of campus. Like, you can leave biology class and you got like an hour or two break. You can go shop for some Louis Vuitton and then look, and then you can look fly for your next class.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't spend enough on tuition. swing by H&M. We're having a sale. Your parents still got a lot of money left for you to spend? Yeah, come on down. We'll entertain you guys.
Yeah, I think that's dope. But speaking of spending a lot, you know, you have to spend a lot if you want to use this place that we're about to go to. Last week, we started a series of odd things that I'm obsessed with. And last week, we talked about my obsession with 90s cable. And if you haven't heard that episode yet, I suggest you do, because we got really in-depth into it. We talked about the Spice Channel, the Preview Channel. But this week...
all those really taboo stations.
Yeah. The channels that define 90s cable. But we're gonna continue this week on my obsessions, and we're gonna talk about my obsessions with airports.
We'll get some music for this too, guys. We're gonna make some beats here afterwards, so we'll have some music to lead you into this. But I can't wait to hear this one, actually.
Okay, well, this is my obsession with airports. I've been around the airport business for a very long time. I've worked in the airport business myself for a few months. My grandmother worked for Delta Airlines for 20 years. My dad worked on the ramp at Atlanta Airport for various airlines for a very long time. And I used to fly a lot. You know, I used my grandmother's flying benefits, and we used to fly a lot. We used to fly to Newark, New Jersey to go see my relatives on my dad's side. We used to fly to Cancun, Mexico for vacation, Orlando, etc. But it's not the flight itself that I'm obsessed with. It's the actual airport. Like, I don't know why. Like, airports are they're interesting to me. Just like the people that are there, you know, especially if you go to an international airport, you'll meet so many different people. Or if you have like a long ass if you have a long ass layover, and you're stuck somewhere trying to get to your destination, or you're trying to go home, like there's so many bars there. I swear every airport has a Chili's to go.
Yeah, I was about to say tons of Chili's.
I remember back in 2011. I was working for American Eagle Airlines, and I had some days off, and I went to go fly out to Santa Barbara to go visit a buddy that I used to serve tables with who lives out there. And on my way back, he dropped me off at LAX a couple hours early, and I went to Chili's and bought some chips and queso, had about three or four margaritas before I got on the plane. And there was a group of people, we're all watching ESPN, you know, and they bought me some shots. And they're like, man, yeah, we're going to Paris here in a few hours, man. And we're just getting drunk before we got to, you know, chill on the plane for 10 hours because they're a flying coach. So they weren't gonna get that luxury as if you're flying first class. So they're getting drunk so they can crash out on the plane for the majority of the flight. It's, you know, and people bitch about layovers. I'm like, man, that's when the fun starts. If you got money to spare,
yeah,
but keyword,
some cash to burn.
If you got money, if you got money to spare. But yeah. usually when I travel, I make sure I have, you know, as much money as possible. And
he doesn't do it normally in his life. Only when he travels, he makes sure he has as much money as possible.
Yeah, no kidding.
Every day, he has no consideration to it.
Anyway, I asked on Facebook and Twitter if you have any interesting airport stories, and we got two responses. I'm about to read the first one. My mom, who travels a lot, responded to one. She lives in Georgetown, Texas. My mom responded, I've seen a ton of badass kids being unruly, running around, and acting like, hey, we're in our own backyards around the airports. She like travels every 2 weeks. Like, I don't know how much vacation time she has, but when I see, like, when I'm on Facebook and when I'm checking out her Facebook page, like, she's like, like a month ago, she went to Dubai.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Dubai's on my bucket list. That place seems gorgeous.
You would like to Dubai? There's a pun there. I didn't quite hit it right.
Womp, womp, womp.
I think, you know, you brought this one up to me, and I was like, well, airport, wait, that's weird. But I think I see where you're at on this one. Airports are a marvel of modern human engineering, okay? Just the sheer scale of how much shit is going on all the fucking time at an airport, and the fact that they're actually able to manage that and put all that shit together and get your fucking bag from the front check desk all the way down to the fucking plane and scan it and make sure there's no bombs in it and fucking chuck it a couple times and have some guy steal some of your jewelry out of it and do all that shit before it even makes it to the plane. I mean, it's insane how much they're just putting together. The whole fucking scale of it is enormous. And I live in North Seattle here, and I look up all the time and I see, you know, we're one of the busier. I heard that traffic at SeaTac is increased by the highest percentage this last year in the country.
It's increasing because of Delta. Delta's now a hub for Seattle, and Delta's the number one airline in the world.
Mm, okay.
So that makes sense. I wouldn't be surprised. I think that they always come on the list as the three busiest airports. It's Atlanta, which I know hands-on because I used to live in Atlanta and my grandmother worked for Delta. DFW, I know that because I used to work for American Airlines, and DFW is the number one hub for American Airlines, and American Airlines headquarters is like a hop and a skip away from DFW Airport and Chicago O'Hare, where everyone goes to fucking Chicago for their connections.
Yeah, okay, so that's like halfway. Yeah, but the traffic is up here, and I see just a constant flow of planes coming in, a constant flow. I mean, it's literally, if you want to pay attention to them, we're a little higher up in North Seattle, so they're still pretty high up, even when they're making a turn and coming overhead. They got a little ways to go, but it's literally every 30, 40 seconds there's a plane coming in, and they don't stop. They just keep coming, and it's just crazy that they can put all that together. You got all the people dropping off in the cars. You got people at the airport itself. I mean, that in itself is just crazy how much they can put together and make all that shit work. And it's like, I couldn't even start to break that down or tell you how it all works, even if I tried to. But it's just one of those things. It just works, and that's how it is. And it's nice, our society. And the airport too, it's like when you're there, you're basically in the midst of some sort of adventure. Maybe it's not an adventure that you particularly signed up for. Maybe you're there for work. Maybe there because you got to go back for a funeral back home. I mean, whatever the situation could be. Maybe you're on vacation and it is your adventure that you're doing. But there's just so much promise when you're at the airport and there's excitement. You're about to get on an airplane. You don't know. I mean, you know what's going to happen, but there's always in the back of your mind that who knows what the hell could happen, that little outside chance. And just all that excitement and everything twisted up, it just, whether it gives you a little anxiety or you actually enjoy it, it definitely gets your blood flowing, and it gets you out of your element and in a situation that you're not really accustomed to when you're sitting at home on your goddamn couch watching TV. I mean, it's just not the same at all. So there is definitely that appeal to it, whether you like to travel or not. And I'm somebody who's not a big fan of getting on a plane. I'm getting better. I don't fly a ton, so it's fine. But the excitement is unmatched. I mean, there's nowhere else that you can get that, especially when you're flying halfway across the fucking world, which I've only been fortunate enough to do once very recently, but nonetheless, it's very exciting feeling.
It is.
So, and what were those other busy airports? There's Atlanta. Atlanta's busy as fuck. Yes. Chicago's busy. What was DFW? Is that an airport?
Yeah. Dallas Fort Worth.
Dallas. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry. DFW, Dallas Fort Worth. Okay. Everyone who couldn't put that together.
I was wondering about that. I guess that makes sense, though, because you got Chicago and Dallas, which are like the halfway points kind of on the north side and the south side of the country.
Yeah, and Dallas and Chicago are two big hubs for American Airlines, which is a huge airline company.
Yeah, that still makes sense too. I think actually Southwest is in Chicago too, but that's probably O'Hare, which is different.
Actually, so Southwest Airlines hub is in Dallas. Has two airports. The big one is Dallas Fort Worth International, and there's another one that's like 25-30 minutes away called Dallas Love, and that only caters to Southwest. Southwest Airlines flies into that one, and that's considered their main hub. So, I mentioned this before. I don't like to fly Southwest. I consider them like the charter buses of
Greyhounds of the sky. Yeah, yes. But you know what you're getting into with Southwest. You know, you're keeping your expectations reasonable. You're not expecting the world. I mean, usually when you're flying Southwest, it's a 2, maybe 3 hour flight, and you know what you're getting into. I mean, sometimes you get some of those other nicer carriers like Delta. My buddy flew on Delta. He went back to his girlfriend's college town. It was like over in Vermont or something, and they flew Delta and they connected in Chicago, and they're having all these fucking problems with the plane. They were like an hour and a half behind because one of the engines like wouldn't fire up or something, and they were doing all this shit, and he was like texting me like a joke text, but you could tell that there was legitimate concern behind his tone. Like, he was a little worried about the situation, and you know, you always start to kind of assume the worst when there's any kind of mechanical issues, but there's multiple people I haven't heard the greatest things from when it comes to Delta. So I don't know. We're out here in the Northwest. I like that we have Alaska. They obviously don't
I haven't
fly
tried
everywhere.
Alaska yet.
They're solid, man. They're solid.
I mean, want to.
They don't charge you for a checked bag, which is nice. So you get one checked and you get one carry on, which is nice. Their rates are pretty reasonable, and you know, it seems like they're usually on time and shit. So I like it. But again, they don't go to everywhere. They go to a lot of Mexico places. They go to obviously California and stuff like that.
Aren't they growing though?
I think they have been. Yeah, I think they've definitely been getting bigger. So they're probably expanding. They probably got some. There's probably a couple to Texas, I'm sure now. You know, maybe to DFW.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. My girlfriend 2 years ago, when she came down to Texas to visit me,
mm-hmm.
she took Alaska.
Yeah, so that's probably where they're expanding. Yeah. Maybe a couple to Chicago, too, now, probably. Yeah. So, and they might have a New York or a Boston flight, who knows. But yeah, they're solid. I've never had any issues. I mean, that's the thing. It's like traveling, we make such a big deal of it. And, oh, God, you know, there's no leg room. Oh, it's just uncomfortable. It's like... You think there was plenty of fucking leg room on a covered wagon when they were coming over the pass and it was -5 degrees snowing out and the fucking thing was being pulled by an ox? No, okay? I mean, we have it so fucking easy. All we have to do is sit in a chair and not do anything for 3 or 4 hours. That's all you have to do is pay the money and sit in the fucking chair. You don't even have to be involved in the process at all. And still, it's like people act like it's such a fucking hassle. Like, oh, God, it's just going to be so... Oh, I'm going to be home late. And then there's going to be the wait for customs. And then there'll probably be traffic. Oh, God, it's like you just flew halfway across the fucking world. You were on the other side of the world when you woke up today. I mean, what are you complaining about? I mean, yeah, it's not perfect. It's not great. At least you're not flying on a fucking airplane that's standing room only, and all you're doing is holding on to a handrail for 3 hours straight, which, who knows, maybe Spirit, with the way they're cutting prices, maybe they're going to be doing that soon. I mean, we'll see.
Sound Transit.
Yeah, Sound Transit of the sky. No, but it's like, fuck, man, just quit bitching, guys, okay, for how easy it is to go across the country in less than a day, and all you have to do is sit on your fucking ass and have a few drinks that are not very good price while you do it. That's it. That's all you have to do.
I agree. I don't bitch about that because I've been flying since I was 2 years old. My grandmother worked for my grandmother first worked for Eastern Airlines, who went out of business, and then she joined Delta Airlines, who she had an illustrious career with and got to fly for cheap a lot, and Delta Airlines gave me my first experience of first class and that first class continental lunch and breakfast.
Finally made it, my friend.
Yeah, I made it.
God damn.
But no, I mean, airports, you know, I, you know, like I said, I met people who hate layovers. You know, despite if they're going to their destination or they're going home. And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to go to a bar in the airport. I'm going to drink, meet some people, make conversations, hopefully make new friends, and get drunk. You know, I'm a drinker.
So he's very proficient at it, actually, people. He knows what he's doing. But yeah, it's funny you say that about the layovers, because not all layovers are created equally. I mean, I've seen some, I just look at flights sometimes just to kind of see what's going on to places. And some are like an hour and a half, 2 hours, which if you're going to transfer to city, you're going to need at least an hour to get from one plane to another and to make sure they get your shit over there. That's going to take at least an hour. So an hour and a half to 2 hour layover, that's reasonable. You're not rushing. You can kind of chill for a minute. You get off the plane at least and you walk around, you know, because you sit on the plane. And I flew over to England this past summer. 9 hour flight over there. I don't know why I did this. I thought it was going to be a good idea. I didn't get up one fucking time the entire flight. 9 hours. I didn't get up one goddamn time. I don't know why. I'm lucky I didn't get a fucking blood clot in my leg and end up dying on the way over there. But I was drinking water. I didn't hit the booze. It was going to be a long trip. So I started slow. And I just started off. I was drinking water and I just sipped it the whole time. And did 9 hours. Didn't even have to get up and take a piss one time. I came. Now looking back, I think it was the stupidest fucking thing ever. I don't know why I did it. But you know what? I didn't have to. Excuse me. I didn't have to play that one at least for a while. So that was good. But not all layovers are created equally. But I don't mind. Yeah, like I said, you stretch out. You get to move and you do all that shit. So it's definitely not the worst thing ever. But the traveling though, it's fun though. I like the adventure aspect. You know, you never know what you're in for. I mean, every plane ride, people get all fired up too. They say, oh, it's uncomfortable. There's no leg room. You upgraded to first class. That's basically what you're paying for when you get to first class. Is not as many people and you get more leg room. I don't give a fuck. Okay, I don't give a fuck about leg room. You want to upgrade me? Fine, upgrade me to the flight that has no turbulence. All right. So unless
that's almost every flight, Slim.
No, definitely not. I got lucky on the last couple, but
every flight's gonna have a little bit of turbulence.
Unless they have unless those seats up in first class have shock absorbers that don't make you feel turbulence. Who gives a fuck? It's jet's gonna be still shaking. That's the most uncomfortable part. A little bit of leg room, whatever. Get up and stretch your legs out and do whatever. But I mean, honestly, if they had an option where some guy like from the movies, from an action movie, would just punch you one time in the face and then instantly you were knocked out and you were asleep but didn't have any residual marks or couldn't tell that there had any damage had been done to your face. You just fell asleep for 40 minutes. If they could do that on an airplane, I would pay more for that. I'd pay for that upgrade.
The only time I would like to buy a first class ticket or upgrade to first class is if I'm on a international flight. Because I'm one of those ones, I'm sorry, and you're probably going to give me shit about this, I'm one of those ones who complain about legroom. I'm not like obese, but I'm not a small guy. So, you know, and I don't want to have that little room for, you know, 9 to 12 hours, you know, and I'd rather, you know, if I have the money to spare, then yeah, fuck it. Why not upgrade the first class at the gate? You know, if they announce, hey, we have a, you know, 5 or 6 first class seats open. If you want to upgrade, please see us at the counter. You know, fuck it. Why not?
Because that fucking upgrade, you're talking international, that upgrade's like like $2,000,
$3,000. Well, fuck, man. Hey, man. I
know you're about as international as Pitbull is. I know, but
do you have a favorite airport? I know you haven't traveled as much as me, but do you have a favorite airport?
Jeez, that was a nice way to throw a little backhand in there.
Yeah, you bastard.
I went to a couple airports in Europe this past year, and I really liked the Amsterdam airport. I don't know why. I don't know what it was about the airport there, but it was just a nice setup. They got the fucking trains that come down below. They got the bus section. They got the car deck. I mean, they're set up very well there. I don't know what it was. And there was like a lot of the planes that they had coming into it. Just seemed like it was a lot of like international flights. Well, obviously, you know, because they're a small country. But a lot of the international flights, it seemed really nice there. And everybody was pretty cool. And I don't know. I like the setup there. I like SeaTac. It's pretty easy to understand. It's big, but it's not ridiculous or stupid big. But I don't know. I can't really think of any. I've been to McCarran a lot in Vegas, obviously. But that's about it. What about you? I mean, do you have one that sticks out in your mind?
Well, I grew up around the Atlanta airport, obviously. But one that I enjoy going to, obviously, is the Dallas-Fort Worth one. If you go into, I think it's like Concourse E, where all the planes are American, American Airlines, and you'll see all these international flights to like Brazil, Tokyo. And you'll just see all these different people. I like diversity. So, and they have bars there in that area. So you'll meet different types of people. But no, like DFW, I like the restaurants that they have. I like the setup. I like the monorail train that they have. So, man, it's a tough call between Atlanta's airport and Dallas Fort Worth's, man. It's, you know, they're on a seesaw, which one I like more, going up and down, because you know I can't just ditch the one that I grew up around, because I used to live about 20 minutes away from Atlanta's airport.
I bet if you polled some random Americans, 100 or maybe 1,000, I don't know how many, but I bet if you polled them and asked them what the busiest airport in the nation was, I bet that less than 10% would get it right. Like, I'm curious about this kind of shit, because I'm kind of like you. I like airplanes. Airports are pretty fun, too. Again, you know, we just got into this. But I didn't even know that Atlanta had the busiest airport in the U.S. until, like, 3 months ago.
Oh, yeah. They've had that claim to fame since, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
When Delta blew up, because Delta is their number one hub, and Delta is one of the top airlines in the world. And I remember for the longest time, Atlanta and Chicago would battle for that claim to fame. And DFW would just be number Dallas Fort Worth would just be number three. But it would, I don't know how it is today. I haven't checked lately, but I know that Atlanta and Chicago have always fought for the busiest airport in the world title.
I think it's still Atlanta. I think there's something like they get like 9 or 10 million people that come through there every fucking year.
That's insane.
9 or 10 million people that come through a place that's probably, the whole entire facility is probably 300 or 400 acres. I mean, the actual airport itself is a small portion of that. And you get a whole metropolitan city walk through that fucking place in 1 year.
Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, and that just shows how crazy airports are, and like again, like I said, how much of a marvel of human engineering that they are, that they can just handle that kind of capacity, and it's just an everyday thing. They just keep plugging away and keep sending them out there and fucking shooting them off to Africa and Europe and wherever the fuck else they're going. It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So our last topic for tonight or today.
We'll leave you guys with this little treat here.
Yeah. We mentioned it at the top of the program about good old Tim Tebow, who was dating
the Lord's quarterback.
Yeah, who was dating Miss Universe, and Miss Universe dumped him because of the, and I quote, lack of sex in the relationship. I don't think
possible to dump a guy for lack of. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, is it usually the opposite? Like women who bitch about guys not giving it up.
For all you home gamers, I believe her name was Olivia Culpo. So
yes,
you can check her out and you come to your own conclusions about her. Certainly not the best. Certainly not the hottest of the hot that I've seen. Definitely a good looking chick though. But man, that's what are you doing, Timmy? Timmy, what are you doing here? All right, just give
Tim
up that.
Has morals and values. Are you gonna?
It doesn't work anymore.
Really? Come on.
2015. All right.
Look, he's an old fashioned guy. Okay, and he's really serious about that. I don't know. You know, I didn't wait for that. I've never been married, but I didn't wait to lose my virginity until I was married. But I got to give it up for him, man. Because look, this guy, he was the quarterback for the University of Florida. Well, let me repeat that. The University of Florida, which is a top party school, and it's an SEC school. I don't know why.
Top four in the nation for hot white bitches.
Yeah.
I read that recently. Yeah, I read that recently.
Yeah. And probably when he went there, too. I can't even imagine how much opportunity that was just thrown at him. Just like women laying on their back.
How much is that gator?
Take me, Timmy.
That gator tail was tossed his
gator
way.
Gator tail.
They got big tails too, you know.
Yeah. Shit.
No,
yeah,
that's...
I mean, like, I have to give it up to him, man. I mean, and he is considered, you know, the greatest college football player of all time, and you know, I just the fact that he is still, he's still, no one's breaking him, and I guarantee you, Miss Universe thought that she was going to be the one.
Oh, fuck yeah. You kidding me?
Yeah.
You know how cocky and conceited she was going into that relationship? Oh, my gosh. She's like, oh,
because
no.
Tim Tebow let her know. He made her know straight up, look, you ain't getting no dick until we get married.
See, this is why this situation is not practical, especially in his situation. When you're somebody who can hook up with famous girls, beautiful girls, people who are models, people who won Miss USA, all this kind of shit, you can't be hanging out with those girls and not sticking it to them, all right? Those girls, they're getting by. In fact, they're thriving. They're getting ahead just based on the fact that they're fucking smoking hot, all right? And if you don't want to fuck them, they automatically look at that as an insult. They look at that as personal, and they look at that shit as an insult. As
even if you tell them straight up, look, I'm saving myself for marriage?
It doesn't matter. Because that's how she's been getting by. And if you want to enrage that girl and piss her off more than anything, tell her that the fact that she, everything that she stands for, or that she's known for, that she's famous for, doesn't fucking matter to you, because that's basically what you're saying. You're basically saying, I don't give a shit how attractive you are. I don't give a shit how hot you are. I want to get to know you, and I want to your personality, you know, and I want to be your best friend, and all that fucking bullshit you probably told her. Doesn't matter. When you're known for being smoking hot and some guy basically says that he's not attracted to you, which is probably how she interpreted it. She probably interpreted it eventually as she's probably got some insecurities, and she probably took it as he's not attracted to you. That's probably eventually how it registered in her mind. And she said, fuck this guy. I'm done with this shit. You know? I mean, you just can't. It's just not practical, man. It's 2015. Okay, there's 18 different forms of birth control. You know, there's abortion clinics if you don't mind potentially getting shot at from time to time while you're there.
What? By a Christian terrorist. A white conservative Christian terrorist.
He had a great beard. The guy had a great beard. I'll give him that. But you can't do that anymore. It just doesn't make sense. All right? It's fucking stupid. I had a buddy who in high school, he held out. He held out. He wasn't even good looking either. He was kind of a short, chubby guy, but he had a good personality and he liked to laugh and he was a funny guy. And he had chicks throwing themselves at him all the time. We were hanging out for, I went to prom my junior year with one of his good friends. We were all like a group of friends, and we all went to prom. This hot Eastern European girl that went with, came with somebody else. His girl took off because she was fucking stuck up and not cool. And this other Eastern European girl got rid of her date, was hanging out with him too, and she's trying to suck his dick, and we're all spying on him. And he's telling her, no, you got to respect me. And he's getting her not to get... I mean, this girl literally is fucking trying to assault this man just to put his goddamn cock in her mouth.
Now, wait a minute. We can't play that double standard. Imagine if your friend was a woman. And the Eastern European was a man. Is it still okay?
Well,
why is it that a man can't have values and morals, but it's okay for a woman to?
Listen, everybody can believe or have faith or do whatever they want as far as that goes. In this particular example, the only reason I bring it up is because this guy who was going to hold out for marriage ended up going to college at WSU. And 2 or 3 years in, realized, what the fuck am I doing here? I'm giving up on an opportunity at a ton of tail for no reason. I'm not even a religious guy. And he fucking gave it up 2 or 3 years after. And I think to myself, how many blowjobs and how much pussy did you give up in that 3-year span that you were fucking trying to find yourself and achieve some kind of moral high ground? I mean, listen, I don't care if you don't want to do it. That's your deal. That's fine. But you gave up on you left a lot of fucking free pussy on the table, my friend, in those years that you, and I just feel like Tebow, if the guy doesn't get married for another 2 or 3 years, I mean, he's famous. If he could get married in fucking 3 months, if he wanted to have the wedding plan paid for and all that shit. But if he goes another 3 or 4 years, listen, you're missing the golden years of being able to slang cock. All right. You're missing the golden years of being able to fucking toss around the D, all right? And if you want to live with that when you're 40, 45, 50 years old and look back and say, hey, I had a couple of good years, but, you know, my whole 20s, I wasn't even laying any fucking pipe at all. If you can look back and be happy with that just because you reached the moral high ground, then that's your deal. But you know what? I didn't even get started till after high school, and I still fucking look at the pieces of ass that I could have easily taken advantage of back then if I just had any clue at all what the fuck was going on with women, even one iota. I could have been killing it in high school, but I had no fucking clue about shit.
Did I? Actually, no. I had, with the high school I went to where, you know, the school flag, Confederate flag, you know, a black man getting any tell then? Nope. Zero. Nilch. You know the number.
Yeah, right. From what I hear, you're stealing all of us white girls.
No, I didn't start doing
stealing all of our white ladies.
I didn't start doing that till college.
Yeah, you've been thinking about it though.
Yeah, you know the number one excuse is I heard my daddy won't let me date black men. You know. I say this all the time. It doesn't matter how you're raised. Every white woman is curious about a black man.
About that chocolate rocket.
Yes. It does not matter. You will have it. Every white woman will experience it. They will experience it in their lifetime at least once. Either they will say, it wasn't worth it, or they will fall in love with it. That's how it is. No offense, Slim. But we have the advantage when it comes to your white woman.
Yeah, you guys definitely do. You definitely do. I mean,
and it's not even the myth of we're more well endowed than white men. It's just that we just have that swagger to us.
There's a mysteriousness. I even asked my sister this one time, and she didn't really date. I think she had one boyfriend for a little while in high school that was a black guy, but she didn't really date any black guys. But I said, hey, you got the same guy. There's a white guy and there's a black guy, and they're both attractive. They're both good looking. They're both handsome. They're both charming. Who do you go for? And she goes, oh, the black guy, right off the bat. And it's like there's just I don't know, there's just like an inherent coolness to black guys, you know? And it's like there's plenty of them around, but it's still somewhat of a novelty item, you know, to a certain extent, even around here. You know, it's like, oh, black guy. Like, there's just an inherent coolness, and there's no way to explain it. You know, you got all those vanilla motherfuckers that are just basic and straight across the board, and nobody, it's hard to stand out, you know, especially with all, everybody has a degree now and a good job and all this shit, and it's hard to fucking impress anybody or stand out. But when you're a black guy, you get that, you get those little, I hate to call them brownie points on your side, but you got those little,
you racist son of a bitch.
You got that little bonus working for you. I can't even completely describe it, but it's definitely there. Come on, that was good. You got to give me a little credit, a little brownie
points.
Come on.
But back,
this is an interracial show, though, folks. All right.
Yes, I'm black and Slim is white. But back to Tebow, man. How long do you think it's... He's a year older than me, and I'm 27. So he's got to be 28, 29. How long do you think it's going to be until he finds the one?
I mean, I'm honestly shocked that he hasn't at this point. I've known people who tried to do the girl that I lost my virginity to, she ended up becoming like a born-again Christian, you know, came back around and repented and did all that stuff. And she's married now. The guy she married, they decided that they weren't going to hook up until they got married. Well, yeah. And this is the girl that I lost my virginity to. Yeah, well, sure enough, 7.5 months into them hanging out together, oh, we're getting married. Fucking 7.5 months. And I guarantee you the fact that they weren't boning played a role in that, and how, as far as how quick of a decision they made. I mean, it was a relationship that came out of nowhere. You know, it was like friends of friends. Me and her were still kind of hanging out, but we had stopped kind of doing our thing. I think he was in the same situation with an ex. And they just slid into it and decided they weren't going to have sex. And so what do you know? Boom, couple months passes. And they're getting fucking engaged. And they, oh my God, I have no doubt in my mind that that was a huge part of why they moved so quickly and got things rolling. And I just, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, why would you, not that for the rest of my life, the most important thing that I do is going to be fucking, but at the same time, it's a pretty important part of being in a relationship with somebody. And that's like buying a Tesla before you give it a test drive. I mean, you're not going to do that. You're not going to get yourself into that. You're not going to get that invested, get in that deep without actually giving it a spin. What if the suspension's off, or you don't like the way it's not fast enough for you, even though if you put it in insane mode, it's crazy, or it just doesn't feel right. I mean, why would you give yourself that opportunity to be stuck in that shitty of a situation? I mean, if you had terrible sex with somebody but was married to them, how long would it take, or would it ever get to the point where you got divorced? If the sex was just awful, like,
what, does terrible sex really take place into? I mean, I'm sorry. Does terrible sex lead into divorce?
It can't help, man. It can't help.
Really?
Yeah.
That's horrible. I mean,
you're going to reach a point in your life where obviously that's not as important to you. When you get into your late 30s, you get into your 40s, obviously having sex is not that important. But that one person, because of those, in part because of those moments that you share with them, those most intimate of moments. And I just don't understand why you wouldn't even have an idea, because it's so, sometimes you can be attracted to somebody, but then you get in that situation and the vibe and the connection is not right. It's a little bit off. You guys aren't quite on the same page. And sometimes it feels like that is insurmountable. Like, you can't get past that. So that's just me personally. But you know what? I'm a skinny, prick piece of shit who drinks too much and has really no moral, true moral fabric or any direction with my life. So maybe that has something to do with my opinion on this, but that's just mine. You know, who knows? Maybe. I mean, it might have worked a couple thousand years ago. I just don't think it's practical today.
I don't have a problem with the sex part, but man, that I've never heard of that. Like breaking up with someone or divorcing someone over sex. That's
no one ever wants to admit it because you're gonna sound like a shallow prick, whether you're a guy or a girl. Even if you're a guy and you broke up with some chick just because the sex was awful, she's a fucking complete dead fish and just laid there and kind of moaned like she was running out of air and just waiting to die. You're not even going to tell your good buddies that. You're not going to, for fear of how you might look because of that. But I'm telling you, that shit, you don't just smooth over that. You don't just put a fresh coat over that and just sweep it under the rug and get done with it. You know, that shit's important to guys. That's a form.
It's important to women too. They don't want to.
It is. You're right. It is.
They don't want to go and tell their girlfriends that, you know, that their boyfriends are rejecting them over poker night or magic or
Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering or football every time when they want to get intimate. So I mean it's the same thing with women. They don't want to be embarrassed. You know, they want a guy who still wants to be a man, but at the time still wants to, you know, give them those intimate moments.
Mm-hmm. And this is the part of women's development recently that I am most proud of them for, is the fact that women finally feel like they can actually express and talk about and say and appreciate how good sex is. Like, I feel like they weren't allowed to before, and now they finally do. And, you know, we have all these feminist movements and all this stuff going on and fair and equal pay and all this shit. And it's you know, some of them are important. Some of them, you could argue how important they are. But the fact that women can actually feel okay about saying how good sex is and enjoying it, that's big progress. That's not how it was before. And that is why you need to make sure that you can have some run-throughs before you decide to sign a law contractual obligation with another person. I mean, you gotta have those moments with them and see if the vibe's right. You can work on it. My ex-girlfriend, you know, we started pretty rough the first couple times. You're like, oh God, you almost kind of feel like it's your first time again. Like, you don't even know what the fuck you're doing in there. You don't know what she's into, what she knows, how she likes it, all this kind of stuff. But you work on it and you get a little bit better each time. And then eventually you get that vibe and you're like, damn, you know, it actually gets to a point where it's pretty good, but you got to have those reps before you know that. I mean, and again, who knows? I mean, maybe you can always achieve that if you work hard at it, but I feel like certain people, it's just not there with them. And I'd hate to be married to one of them and not fucking realize it.
How important is sex to you in a relationship?
At this point in my life, I'm 30 years old. 40% of the relationship is sex.
Like
40%.
How many times a week?
It's got to be at least, I mean, it depends on how much you see that person, you know, because my ex, we were only hanging out on weekends. But if we were just hanging out on weekends, it was basically once a day while we were hanging out, maybe two if, you know, we were in the vibe and we got it going early. But I don't think it's just specific numbers. I think it's just you just gotta keep it there and you gotta keep it fresh. And it as a guy, you know, sometimes, yeah, like you said, you know, the girls, they want it too and they want to be satisfied. And a lot of times as a guy, you almost feel obligated, you know, you can't turn a girl down when she wants to go for it. You know,
I think women, I'm starting to learn this. Women are just as horny or hornier than men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're finally, that's the thing, is they're finally admitting it. They're finally feeling okay with admitting it. And that's what I'm proud of. 10 years ago, You want to talk about masturbation with a girl? Are you kidding me? Like when I should have been in college, you talk to a girl about masturbation and she would give you the biggest load of fucking bullshit ever. I did it like one time back in high school, but I wasn't really into it. I didn't really like it. One time? You did it one fucking time? That's the best time. I mean, what are you trying to be, the John Elway of orgasms? You trying to go out on top? Give me a fucking break. You did it one time. You expect me to believe that crock of shit? If you can count on one time or one hand how many times you've masturbated, you're full of shit, okay? I don't care who the fuck you are. One time. Nobody does it one goddamn time. Give me a break. Now, these girls will actually be honest with you. You know, the younger ones, they're still a little hesitant, but these late 20s, the early 30s, they'll be honest. And, hey, it's a taboo subject, but everybody knows masturbation's awesome, okay? Everybody knows.
Not too much, though.
No, well, everything in moderation, you know, man? I mean, you can't be fucking going through a whole goddamn bottle of Jergens in one day, but
yeah,
Jesus, you got to take care of yourself, though, man. That shit'll make you go crazy, especially if you're on a cold spell, man. Fuck, if you go two, three. It's been 2 months since I got laid, and I'm already starting to go crazy, man. Jesus,
that's what you have POF for.
Yeah. Oh my god. Don't even get me going on that shit. Fucking A, just constantly getting catfished. Fuck, man, they're going to ask for my credit card information one of these days. It's going to be tomorrow or something, I know it.
Oh, man. Well, that is all the time we have for y'all, ladies and gentlemen. Join us next week when we will continue my obsession with something. I'll come up with something else.
Shoddy's weird obsessions. Yo, he's got plenty of them, so we shouldn't be at a shortage till at least episode 50 or 60, probably, this fucking weirdo.
Yes, but join us next week. Thanks for joining us. I am Shoddy.
I'm Slim. It was a little bit of a slow news week here, guys, but hopefully we were able to entertain you. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter if you can. And do us a favor, tell a friend if you enjoyed it, because you guys are the best things we got going right now. We don't even know what the fuck we're doing here. But if you guys like it, we want to hear it, and we want to keep it going. So, hey, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week, and we are out of here.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.